we've read together about sin and death. Not a very bright prospect, you might say, sin and death. And yet I want to speak about life. We sang a hymn this morning, and it went, "He died that we might live. He died that we might live." How wonderful that. He died that we might live. And I thought about it, you know, because last week I went to a little village, and passing through it, there were at the churchyard, you might call it, the cemetery, there was a lot of cars and a lot of people. And when I got into the village, I inquired what it was. And the man told me, he said it was a young man, the age of 17, that had died. He'd actually taken his own life. We'd call it suicide. But I thought about it, because a young man, the age of 17, he'd taken his own life. And when you're young, you think of life as being in front of you, and you talk to young persons and they'll say, "Well, no problem, I've got life before me, no problem at all." You tend to take things for granted, don't you? When you get a bit older, you tend to look back and you think of how quickly life has gone. But God, you know, in the gospel tonight, he wants to offer you life. You may say to me, "Well, I've come into this room tonight and I've got natural life." It says that God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's what God did. You know, we tend, don't we, to take things for granted. The fact that we've been able to come to this room tonight, young or old, you've come in, you're sitting down, you're listening to the gospel. Like the man in scripture, you know, the rich man, he'd got everything. He hadn't got a need of anything. And yet God said to him, he said, "Fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee." That's what God said to him. So in the gospel, you know, it's a question of whether your life is really for yourself or whether it's for God. We sang that hymn this morning, "He died that we might live." Wonderful. Now, he laid down his life. Jesus, that is, of course. Theme of the gospel. Jesus. He died that we might live. Wonderful thing to have eternal life. Heard, you know, of a young man that came into a gospel preaching just like this. He'd never been to a gospel preaching before. Hadn't got a hymn book. Hadn't got a Bible. And he came into a room just like this. And he sat at the back of the room, and the old brother was preaching. And he listened to the gospel preaching. At the end of the gospel preaching, when the company had gone out, he went to the preacher and he said to him, he said, "I want to be saved. I want to be saved." I wonder whether everybody in this room is saved. He said, "I want to be saved." The old gospel preacher, you know, he was an older man, and he obviously had a bit of experience. And he said to him, he said, "Well, there's only one way to be saved." And he said, "That's personal faith in Christ." And he took him, you know, to a little room, and he said to him, he said, "I'm going to pray with you. And after I've prayed," he said, "I want you to pray." And he prayed with him. He knew a thing or two, you know. He prayed with him. And then afterwards he said to the young man, "Now you pray. Now you pray." Have you ever prayed? And he didn't know, the young man didn't know what to say. So the old brother said to him, he said, "Well, have you never prayed?" He said, "No, never." He said, "The only thing I can remember is my mother's prayer." Maybe someone in this room tonight, you know, Maybe somebody's been praying for you. I look back on my life and think of the many that have prayed for me, that I might come into the blessing. And all he could remember was his mother's prayer. The old brother said to him, "You pray the prayer of your mother. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon this little child." Well, look, we know the gospel's very simple. He came into the blessing through a simple prayer like that. Never been into a room before. You see, we become so casual with things, don't we? Come to the meetings, come to this, the preachings, you know. Maybe week after week. But God, you know, in the gospel, he wants you to have to do with him. Old brother preached once, you know, and he said, Christianity is not a religion. Hey, good that. It's not a religion. There's only one reference in my Bible to religion. You look it up. One reference. Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. God wants you in the gospel to have a relationship with him. Wonderful, you know. Relationship with God. And so, come back to where I've read, you know, in Luke's gospel. And the Lord Jesus, who is the theme of the gospel, is available tonight as a saviour. I wonder whether everyone in this room tonight knows the Lord Jesus. Maybe you've heard your parents talk about him or your friends talk about him. But do you know him personally for yourself? Because the gospel, you know, it's very personal. It is. It's not exactly to do with the person next to you, it's to do with you. Very personal. Because Jesus came, you know, into this scene individually. He came personally to meet the sinner. Very wonderful, ain't it? Now, one of the things Jesus came to do is to meet the sinner. Old hymn writer says, you know, sinner, see thy God beside thee, in a servant's form draw near. You know, here we are in Deptford tonight, you know, what's the date? 16th of February 1992. And God is still waiting, in patient grace, to meet the sinner. How do you feel, you know, if you went out of this room tonight? Maybe you were run over, or you met death. Taken from time into eternity in a matter of moments. Just like that young, that man we were talking about. How did he stand before God? How do you stand before God? Good question, isn't it? Good question. Do you know God? Do you? Wonderful thing, you know, to think of God, the God who is the source of the gospel. Talk to persons, you know, and generally speaking in this world in which we're in, man has become self-sufficient. Yeah, self-sufficient and self-satisfied. And generally speaking, that's man's heart, of course, isn't it? Our hearts are all the same, whether we're a Christian or not. Self-sufficient and self-satisfied. And generally speaking, men, they don't turn to God unless something happens in their life. When they stop and they think about God. Great thing, you know. God is the source of the gospel. I don't know whether everyone in this room tonight believes in God. I can't answer it for you. You have to answer it for yourself. Do you believe that God is? Do you believe that God is real? That's what it says in Hebrews. He that believes that God is. Do you believe that God is? It's like that, that first Russian, you know, that went into space. First Russian astronaut went into space. And he travelled so many thousands of miles around space. And he came back and he said to the Russian people, he said, "I've been so many thousands of miles in space." He said, "I didn't see God. Therefore," he said, "I assume there is no God." That's what he said. That was his testimony to the Russian people. Scripture, now the Bible says, the fool in his heart said there is no God. But that's what that Russian testified to. And you know, unfortunately for that man, he took a light aircraft on a Sunday afternoon for a flight. And it plunged to the ground and he was killed. Fool in his heart said there is no God. Believe me tonight, there is a God. And you'll have to deal with him one day. Well, I appeal to you tonight. I have to deal with him tonight.
Right.
Have to deal with him tonight. Thought about it, you know, this week in the paper, those miners that were down in the pit, and the train, the little trains that they were running in, came off the rails, didn't it? Suppose you all read about it, or probably saw it on the television, or heard it on the radio. Came off the rails. If I remember right, two men lost their lives. Another instance when man is taken from time into eternity in a matter of moments. Your life's not your own, you know. It's not your own. Like that miner, you know, that went down the pit and the shaft collapsed. When they eventually got him up, laying on the ground, they could see his lips moving. And the night before, you know, he'd been to a gospel preaching, just like this, and he'd given his heart to Jesus. But they stooped down to see his lips moving, to hear what he said. And he said, you know, I'm glad that I settled it last night. Taken from time into eternity in a matter of moments. But he'd settled it, you know. He had to do with God. We want you to have to do with God tonight. The great thing about the gospel is, you know, that God tonight is towards you. Speak to men about God, and they think of God as being a distance. But he's not at a distance. He's very near to you tonight. And in this room in Deptford, he wants to bless you. So I read in Luke's Gospel, he speaks about Jesus. One of the things he came to do, it says not to call righteous persons, but it says sinners to repentance. And you know, dear friends, tonight that's where we all come in, isn't it? Sinners. Just because I stand here to speak simply about the Gospel, I'm a sinner. And the older you get, the more you realise what a bigger sinner you are. That's the truth, you know. But I can tell you tonight that Jesus has taken my sins away. We were saying the other night, you know, a Christian, it's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. Because, you know, if you look back, the past has been met. And if you look to the future's secure. Wonderful to be a Christian. So I speak tonight about Jesus because I know that he came into this scene not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And I don't know tonight whether everyone in this room is aware of the fact that you're a sinner. The scripture says all men, the hymn says all men have sinned, and sure the glory come. We read, you know, about the disobedience in Romans of the one man. Sin entered into the world. That was Adam, you know. He was deceived by the serpent. Sin entered into the world. We're all constituted sinners. Someone said to me the other day, you know, we're talking about the gospel and talking about sin. And he said to me, he said, what is the cause of sin? You think about it. This world, you know, in which we're in, it's full of sin. It's full of suffering. It's full of death. But what is the cause of sin? The cause of sin is Satan. The consequences of sin is suffering and death. But the cure of sin is salvation. Wonderful, isn't it? This scene we're in, you know, it's marked by sin and death. If you read the paper tomorrow morning, you'll find the people that died over the past weekend. Death has passed up on all men. Why? Because all have sinned. How that Jesus has come in, you know, to meet the sinner. Yes. He meet the sinner. You say, why? Because God has provided a righteous basis wherewith the sinner who turns to God in repentance and puts his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and in his finished work can be forgiven. So we preach tonight the forgiveness of sins by the way of repentance. Wonderful, isn't it? God has provided a righteous basis. Mr. Waterfall will tell you you should preach the righteousness of God. But in preaching the righteousness of God, don't forget the love of God. Wonderful. I tell you tonight, you know, that God loves you. Somebody said, you know, that you might go out of this room tonight as a sinner. I trust you don't, but you might. But you can never go to this room tonight knowing that God doesn't love you, because I've told you so. John 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. What a gospel, isn't it? Wonderful. You come into the enjoyment and forgiveness of sins. I trust you have. Because Jesus came, you know, to save the sinner. Hymn writer says, to save the sinner, Jesus came. To set the captive free. Are you captive to sin? You're captive to yourself. Jesus can set you free. Wonderful, you know. So I tell you tonight that all of us are in need of a Saviour. There's not one of us in this room tonight that is out of it. We all need Jesus. He's a Saviour of sinners. Wonderful. We often sing that hymn, you know, Christ is a Saviour of sinners. Christ is a Saviour for me. It's like that drunkard, you know, went into a pub and he got put outside because he got no more money, hadn't got any more money left. And he walked along the road. He came to a window ledge. He sat on the window ledge. And inside, you know, it was a Salvation Army. Inside they were singing that hymn, Christ receiveth sinful men. Wonderful, lovely hymn, you know. Christ receiveth sinful men. He came to it. God worked with him, you know. And he said, well, if Christ can receive sinful men, he said, Lord, receive me. That's the simplicity of the gospel, you know. It is very simple. Turn to God in repentance and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and in his finished work. You say, what's his finished work? Well, the Lord Jesus came in, as we know, as a babe in Bethlehem's manger. You call it, some people call it the Christmas story. The Christmas story. Babe in Bethlehem's manger. No room for him in the inn. But he went through, you read the Gospels, they tell you just a little bit about the life of Jesus. He went through, committed to the will of his God and Father. Each footstep, giving his Father fresh delight. But he involved that he should go to the cross. Wonderful, you know the cross, isn't it? We're looking up the cross recently. The cross of Christ. Preach the cross. Never far from the cross. Wonderful. But it was the cross where everything was met. The Lord Jesus was nailed to a cross. Men nailed him to a cross. It's often been said, you know, it wasn't the nails that held my Saviour there. It was his love for me and for you. Think about that. His love for me and for you. What a Saviour Jesus is, you know. But he laid down his life and he shed his precious blood so that you can have your sins forgiven tonight. And you can have peace with God. Wonderful thing, you know. The work of Christ is completed. We sang of it in that hymn. A completed work. Wonderful. Laid down his life and he shed his precious blood. The blood of Jesus. Go back to what I said earlier, you know, the past has been met. Your sins can be covered by the blood of Jesus. Wonderful, you know, isn't it? Work of Christ. Work of Christ is wonderful. Hymn writer says, you know, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Wonderful, isn't it? The blood of Jesus. The Lord Jesus, he laid down his life and he shed his precious blood. That thief, you know, that malefactor, in Luke 23, the work of atonement was finished. He was made fit for heaven. Wonderful. Wonderful. No need for anyone to go out of this room tonight without having their sins forgiven. Repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and in his finished work. He laid down his life and he shed his precious blood. He went into the grave to remove the man, the first order of man. Gospel doesn't finish there, does it? No, he's risen. Been raised, it says, for our justification. Truth of justification is a wonderful thing. We spend, some of us, you know, a lot of time in life trying to justify ourselves. But the believer is justified in another. Been raised for our justification. And he's been glorified. What a Saviour Jesus is. When he came into this scene, as I said, he was earth rejected. Men didn't want him. Same today with some, you know, they don't want him. Earth rejected. Heaven accepted. Glory crowned. And he's a quickly coming Saviour. If he comes tonight, where will you stand? Where will you stand? Will you go to be with him? Like that old hymn, you know, when the roll is caught up yonder, I'll be there. Wonderful that, you know. Well, I'll be there. What about you? I trust you will. You've had the gospel, you know, in its simplicity preached tonight. Don't put it off, because it's a very urgent message. It is. Mm. Some people say it's the old-fashioned gospel. It is. But it has to do, you know, with life or death. Hell or heaven. It is. Life or death matter. Very urgent. There's always a warning, you know, in the gospel preaching. The whole now is the accepted time. The whole now is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Let Jesus into your heart tonight. Right. Old gospel tract, you know, have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin. As he knocks and seeks admission, sinner, will you let him in? Let Jesus into your heart tonight. I've told you, no, there's a sacrifice for your sins. The gospel is a wonderful thing. God wants to have you as meeting you in all you need. He wants to have you for his own pleasure. Old brother who used to preach, a very good gospel preacher, used to say, first of all, you know, it's God for man. How God has come out to meet the sinner. And he can meet him righteously tonight. But then the end in the gospel is that he should have man himself for God's pleasure. Well, may that be the portion of everyone in this room.